It's my privilege to talk to you today about our study, Willingness to Administer Influenza A H1N1 2009 Monovalent Vaccine, a National Physician Survey. The appearance of a novel strain of influenza in 2009 led to a global pandemic, the ramifications of which continue to unfold. There was a rapid international response, including the expedited production of a vaccine. Before the vaccine became available, it was unknown how willing primary care physicians would be to administer the vaccine. The objectives of our study were the following: to determine among U.S. pediatricians, family medicine physicians, and general internists, willingness to administer 2009 H1N1 vaccine with limited information regarding safety and efficacy, barriers to administering the vaccine, and preferences about receipt of public health-related information about H1N1 disease and vaccine. Our survey was developed and administered in the following context. The 2009 H1N1 virus was identified in April of 2009. Development of our survey started in early June. Our survey was administered July through October of 2009 with content based on early information about the anticipated vaccine. Vaccine administration started in October for most of the country. Our survey was conducted in three existing Sentinel physician networks. Physicians practicing more than 50% in primary care were recruited from random samples of the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Family Physicians, and the American College of Physicians. Quota sampling was done to ensure networks were similar to overall AAP, AAFP, and ACP memberships. A previous study comparing Sentinel network methodology to the most commonly used method of random sampling from the AMA master file found comparable results with respect to physician and practice characteristics and responses on surveys regarding vaccine-related issues. Our survey was developed jointly with the CDC with input from national vaccine experts. It was pre-tested in advisory committees of pediatricians, family medicine physicians, and general internal medicine physicians from across the country and piloted among 196 primary care physicians. Our survey was administered from July to October of 2009. It was administered by internet or mail, depending on the preference of the physician. One-third of our respondents preferred to have their survey delivered by mail, while two-thirds preferred the internet. Our respondents were provided with specific information regarding what was known about H1N1 vaccine at the time the survey was developed. In the context of this information, they were asked about willingness to administer vaccine and potential barriers to administering vaccine. The following two slides show the information we provided to our respondents as they were completing the survey. Again, these statements reflect what was known at the time the survey was developed. The FDA has not yet made the decision about whether the new H1N1 vaccine will be a licensed product or a product used under an emergency use authorization, or EUA. If the vaccine is used under an EUA, it will require that providers give fact sheets to patients and track patient information for the FDA, but physicians will not have to obtain informed consent. The seasonal and H1N1 vaccines will not be combined into one shot, but it is likely that seasonal influenza and H1N1 vaccine doses can be given at the same time. It is anticipated that anyone under 50 years will need to receive two doses of the new vaccine. Children under 9 years of age who have not received two influenza doses in previous seasons will require two doses of seasonal and two doses of H1N1 vaccine. It is not known when H1N1 vaccine will be available, but supplies may be extensive. Side effects of the H1N1 vaccine are expected to be similar to seasonal influenza vaccine. Our results. We had a 76% response rate overall, 70% from family medicine, 79% from pediatrics, and 78% from general internal medicine. Among the specialties, respondents were not significantly different from non-respondents with respect to gender, birth year, practice location, region, and practice type. This figure shows physician willingness to administer the H1N1 vaccine during the 2009-2010 season by specialty. As you can see, physicians from all three specialties reported that they would be very willing, with a range of 78% to 84%, to administer the H1N1 vaccine. And most of the remainder reported being somewhat willing, with very few reporting that they would be not very or not at all willing to administer a vaccine. Fifteen to 20% of our respondents. Reported being not very or not at all willing to administer vaccine to uninsured patients unable to pay an admit. I'm sorry, skip one. All right. This figure shows physician willingness to administer H1N1 vaccine to uninsured patients unable to pay an administration fee. There was remarkable similarity across specialties, with approximately one half of respondents being very willing and about a third of respondents being somewhat willing to administer vaccine to uninsured patients unable to pay an administration fee. Again, 15 to 20% of our respondents reported being not very or not at all willing to administer vaccine to uninsured patients unable to pay an administration fee. In this figure, we see the top three anticipated barriers to administering the H1N1 vaccine. Patient or parental concerns about the safety of the new H1N1 vaccine was reported as a barrier by 68% of respondents. 26% considered this a significant barrier. Lack of data about the efficacy of the new H1N1 vaccine was reported as a barrier by 60%. And physician concerns about safety was reported as a barrier by 43% of our respondents. Here, we see anticipated barriers to administering both the new H1N1 and seasonal influenza vaccines. 75% of our respondents reported parent unwillingness to allow their child to receive four or more separate injections as a barrier, with 32% reporting this as a significant barrier. Having three or more visits required to administer all doses of both vaccines was considered a barrier by 68% of respondents, with 34% considering this a significant barrier. Among family medicine physicians and general internists, 55% considered unwillingness of adult patients to receive two influenza vaccines as a potential barrier. Inadequate storage space for both vaccines was considered a barrier by a minority of physicians. This slide shows preferences for receiving public health related information related about seasonal or H1 influenza vaccines from a reliable source such as the CDC. The highest preference was given to email, followed by mail at 40%, and the CDC website at 39%. Podcasts and social media, such as Twitter and Facebook, were highly preferred by very few respondents. There are several important limitations to our study. First, respondents may have differed from non-respondents. Also, Sentinel physicians may differ from physicians overall, although prior work suggests not. In addition, our survey results represent reported practice. Actual practice was not observed. And finally, and importantly, our survey took place during a rapidly changing landscape with respect both to disease and to vaccine. In summary, the majority of physicians surveyed were very or somewhat willing to provide 2009 H1N1 vaccine. The greatest perceived barriers among physicians were patient and parent safety concerns and the need for three or more separate administrations. Email, mail, and updates via the CDC website were the preferred methods of communication. In conclusion, although potential barriers were noted, our data suggests that private providers would be willing partners in the delivery of a new vaccine in the face of a pandemic, such as the 2009 H1N1 vaccine. Such information will be useful in the future in the event of another pandemic or other emerging infectious disease. And I'd like to thank our collaborators at the University of Colorado and the CDC. Thank you.